Thank you for joining us for this week's message at Praise Chapel Paramount. We hope you enjoyed this message from our Sunday morning series, Disturbia. What gets in our minds can get in our hearts. We're talking about mind battles and what happens in our heads. We're up one day and down the next. The way we process things is not correct. This series exposes how we incorrectly approach our thoughts and how we need to allow the Lord to transform us. Also, we'd love to hear what God has done in your life. To share your story, email us at info@pcparamount.org. Again, we hope you enjoy this message.
Well, praise the Lord. We so appreciate all of everyone. And again, we appreciate what an honor it is. This is the best church in the world, man. I'm telling you that right now. And I just get the honor to be able to pastor here with, along with this team of pastors and a number of ministers in this church. We have a number of people in ministry, that administration, and so many different places that we can be here all night honoring so many people that sacrificed. We're on this sermon series here called Disturbia. And it's a combination of two words, suburb and disturb. And many of you probably have watched the movie Disturbia. And what it really entails is basically tells you that even in a suburban neighborhood, there can be some dark areas. And we're going to talk about even some dark areas in our own mind. And how do we navigate and how do we make up our minds? So many things are going through our minds. How many know that, man, your mind can go crazy? And so many things can go in and out of our mind. And so I know if it gets in here, it can get in here. If it gets you here, it'll get you right here. And so what I want to talk about is our thought life. I want to talk about how we think. And we have to admit that our thoughts do matter, right? Our thoughts matter. Our thoughts influence our words. They influence our actions, our habits. And ultimately, it influences our destiny. And so I want to talk about perception. Say perception. And a lot of people say, what does perception mean? Perception means a particular way of viewing things, a particular way of looking at things, interpreting things. A lot of us, our perception comes from our own experiences, and that's how we're able to perceive things, by our own personal experience. And so we have a perception. Now, here's the thing about perception, guys. Your perception could be wrong, but your perception is your reality. And so a lot of people have a way they perceive things, and it may be totally wrong, but their perception is their reality. A person could have a perception of fear, and we could say, why are they afraid of that? That perception is their reality. And I believe there's a lot of perceptions that God wants to break, that God wants to tear down, that we hold on to for whatever reason. I want to talk about perceptions and how we view things and how God wants to break some of those things and demolish those things. In fact, next week, I really want you to be here because it'll be the last of the series, but I'm believing that it'll be the best one of the series. So hopefully you'll be here tomorrow or next week, I should say, next Sunday, and bring somebody with you. Let me share a story with you. You probably heard the story, but I'll share it with you anyway. There was a young lieutenant and the general. He was with his general, and they boarded a passenger train. And across from them was a beautiful young lady and her grandmother. And they begin to talk to them. They all begin to engage in conversation. And the young lieutenant could not get his eyes off the beautiful young lady. And so there came a moment when the train entered into a dark tunnel. And two noises were heard. One was the noise of a kiss. The next one was a smack. And each one of them had a perception of what happened. The young lady thought to herself, wow, I'm really flattered that the handsome lieutenant kissed me, but I'm embarrassed that my grandmother slapped him. The grandmother assumed to herself, I'm disappointed with the lieutenant that was so sly to kiss my granddaughter, but I'm proud that she had the courage to slap him. The general thought to himself, what in the world? Why did my lieutenant kiss this young lady? And why did she slap me by mistake? But the lieutenant had the last laugh, because in that brief moment of total darkness, he had the perfect time to kiss the attractive young lady and turn around and slap the general. Did you guys get it? That's actually what happened. All of us have a perception, right? All of us can hear things. We can perceive things. Our perception is our reality, not necessarily the truth. So the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. We're going to read this verse of Scripture, a simple verse of Scripture. It says, as the person thinks within himself, so is he. As the person thinks within him within himself, so is he. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today, God, for your grace. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the people that are here this morning, that you would just open our hearts and minds to the word. And Lord, remove every distraction. There's so many things that are weighing heavily on our mind right now. And God, that you'll remove those things and help us to receive the word of God. Because your word is relevant. Your word is for today's time. I pray for the anointing as I declare the word of God and let your people hear the voice behind the voice. And the people said, amen. Amen. So the Bible said, as the person thinks within himself, so is he. And I like to say it this way. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. So what you think about most, that's exactly the direction your life will go in. And so a lot of us think, man, does my perception, do the way I think affect me? And I say it does. If you think that things are going to be bad, guess what? They probably are. If you think, well, it's never going to work out, then they probably are not going to work out. Have you ever thought to yourself, if you've been in a job interview and you've looked around the room at other applicants, you're saying, well, these people seem to get it all together. I'm not sure I'm going to get it. Rather than think, guess what? I'm here. Yeah, the crowd looked like they're more qualified, but with God's grace, I can get this job. See, our perception is our reality. The way we think, the direction of our lives will go the direction of our strongest thought. And so all of us are battling this invisible world. It's in our mind. We're constantly battling things. We're being bombarded by the media. We're being bombarded by Facebook and all of these different things, and all of these things are getting into our mind. And many times it's so intense, we don't know what to do with all of this information, and we need to protect our mind. You ever notice that they passed a law years ago in California that you had to wear a helmet in order to ride a motorcycle? The reason is more fatalities happen by head injuries than any other fatality. And so they figured if they can guard a person's head, they can guard their mind, their brain, they can save a lot of lives. I believe today that God wants to save our mind. He wants to save the way that we think. In fact, in Romans 7:15, you could write it down. Paul the Apostle said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. How many can relate to that? So God is saying to you and I, there's a way. He gives us some tools. He gives us some strategy in how to fight some of these things and break some of these things in our mind. And there's a scripture. It's kind of our theme scripture for this whole series in 2 Corinthians 10:3. It says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. In other words, we have divine power to demolish these strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Every argument or everything that tries to come up against the things of God, the Bible says we're able to take it captive. So we take captive every thought and we make it what? Obedient to Christ. So we've got to learn how to capture these destructive thoughts. And basically, God gives us divine power. That word divine, or that word, it comes from the word dunamis. In other words, the word dynamite comes from dunamis. God gives you some dynamite power to destroy these particular strongholds in our mind and bring them into obedience to Christ. And so many times, our mind doesn't want a mind, right? Our thoughts are going everywhere, all kinds of different directions. How many have ever experienced spiritual ADD? You just can't pay attention. Like, man, my mind is rebelling, man. I just can't get it to settle down. And our minds rebel. Our minds go in different directions. And so Paul gives us some great advice on what to do here. In Philippians 2:5, it says, you must have the same attitude, say attitude, that Christ Jesus had. We're supposed to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ had. We need to personalize this and say, my attitude. Say, my attitude. My attitude needs to be like Jesus. And look at what it says in Philippians 2, the very next verse, verse 6 through 8. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So the Bible says that Jesus, his attitude was that of humility. His attitude was that of obedience. Even though he was 100% God and 100% man, he did not use that to his advantage. But the scripture says he humbled himself and became a servant, and he even obedient to the death of the cross. So our attitude needs to be that of Jesus, and bring our mentality, our mindset, to obey God, to do what God's called us to do. And we have a tendency, though, to make things bigger than they really are, don't we? All of a sudden, something happens in our lives, and they're bigger than they really are. Even kids have a way of exaggerating things. Have you ever seen things, how kids get grossed out of things, you know? They see a diaper, oh, man, that's the nastiest thing I've ever seen. No, there are a lot nastier things than a diaper. Oh, man, I see my parents making out in the kitchen. Oh, my God, that's gross. That is so gross. And I tell them, how do you think you got here, eh? I talk to these teenagers, it's the grossest thing I've ever seen. Son, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that. You encourage it, believe me, encourage it. Yeah. And so all of these things, oh, vegetables, oh, that's the grossest thing in my life. Now, there's a lot more gross things than vegetables. And so we could take something that's slightly negative and make it bigger than what it is. It becomes an enormous battle in our mind. It could be doubt, it could be worry, it could be a disappointment. It could even be some negativity. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. In fact, I want to talk about some negative things that get a hold of us, because sometimes we can have a negative attitude. And today, I want you to be real honest, okay? Can you be honest with me today? I want you to be very transparent. I want you to be honest and transparent. I'm going to cover a few things, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to see if that's you. And if you're honest, you'll raise your hand. If you're dishonest, well, we know where you're going. No, anyway, I'm kidding. What I'm saying to you is I want us to be as honest as we can, okay? So take the religious face off. Take your little holy face off. And let's be honest this morning and say, okay. So if this relates to you, don't raise your hand yet. But maybe you're a person that has personal negativity. What that means is you're very negative about yourself. You may say things, thoughts may come, I don't have what it takes. I can't do it all. No matter how hard I try, I can't get it done. How come everyone else gets all the breaks? You know what? I'm not appreciated. No one appreciates me. All the stuff that I do to try to get this done, and no one says thank you. No one knows how valuable that I am. Or maybe you have this personal negativity about the way your appearance is and your physical body. If I could just shift a little bit of the weight over here on this side, you know, I would be so happy, you know. You know, for some of you men, man, if my hair on my head grew as big as the hair in my nose and as quick as I'd be a real happy guy. Or, you know, man, if I could just get this makeover, it would just change my whole life. And so how many of you, you'd be honest and say, you know, Pastor, I deal with some personal negativity. Maybe not everything I said, but you say, you know what, I deal with some of that negativity. Raise your hand. All right, we got some honest people so far. You guys more honest in the first service, so that's good. Okay, the second thing, what about relational negativity? In other words, you have some negative... you have a negative attitude toward relationships. You know, every time, man, you start trusting somebody. Every time I trust somebody, I get burned. Or, you know, I can't trust men as far as I can throw them. I mean, man, you know, I wish my wife was like so-and-so. I wish my husband was a lot different. Man, the next time I have to pick up some dirty underwear, I'm going to throw up. I mean, this is just, you know, you just get your relational. Or even negativity at work with relationship with your boss. My boss is a jerk. He's a moron. Oh, that guy doesn't know what's happening. Now, man, if I married somebody else, then I'd be happy. If I only had children, then I'd be happy. If I only had different children, then I'd be happy. So how many of you, you know, instead of holidays, you call them holidays, right? It's like, man, everything's hell. So how many of you could say that you deal with some relational negativity? Raise your hand. All right, we got some on it. How about circumstantial negativity? If I had a better job, man, if I had better money, if I had a better car, you know, if my house wasn't so small, if I could get out of debt, you know, life isn't fair. And so we get a lot of this circumstances. If things were different for you, if you had more money in your pocket, and so you can become very negative because your circumstances are not as good as you want them to be. If you be honest with yourself, say, Pastor, I deal with some negative attitude concerning circumstances. Raise your hand. All right. How about spiritual negativity? Basically, why is it that God answers everybody else's prayer? And when I pray, nothing, zero. Boom, zilch, nada. Not a smoke signal, not a text, not an email, nothing. This guy over here, it's like God answering every prayer. Oh, God's speaking to me today. Shut up. I don't even want to hear about how many times God speaks to you. And so you have the spiritual negativity. Don't do business with Christians. You know, they don't do good work anyway. And so you have this spiritual negativity. You know, nobody can live up to your standards. And you know, you become real critical. You're even sitting here being a little critical here. And so you have this spiritual negativity in your life right now, and you say, you know, but you've had it. Just raise your hand and say, I'll be honest, that's me. How about this? Best I can put, you nitpick. You're a nitpicker, okay? You have this negative attitude, like someone slowing down in front of you, you know, and you're just going, I can't believe this. You don't cuss, but you want to cuss. And so you're just saying, you know, and you're just nitpicking all these different things, you know. You could be at home and you know, all of a sudden you look toward the toilet paper and there's nothing there. And, you know, your son was just in the restroom earlier. And then the drawer is across the room. You know what I'm talking about? You get mad. Or come on, or we get an attitude. Why don't they hire somebody that speaks English? Are you listening to me? Or why won't my cell phone work? I can't believe the cell phone. And you're nitpicky. And you have that kind of attitude, negative attitude with that. How many be honest and say, that's me, Pastor? And I should create the sixth box, but it's for those that are extremely negative. If those that are sitting here right now say, I'm not playing this dumb game. I put this in here for you because I know you're here right now. So, but how many of you say, you know, Pastor, you know what? I raised my hand for all five. I'm just going to be honest right now. 4 or 5, you said, that's me. Raise your hand if you raise your hand. There's no hope for you guys. No, I'm just kidding. That's negative. I'm not kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not true. I was going to say, you're dismissed. Go home. This message won't help you today. No. We're going to identify. We want to identify some of this negativity, some mindset. And this is really going to help a lot of you more than you realize, because your perception is your reality. You don't realize you have some things, the way you perceive things, the way you look at things could be very broken. It's like looking at things through a broken glass or broken, eyewear, whatever it is, glasses. And so you don't realize, but you're perceiving things through a broken glass. And so I believe God wants to kind of give us an attitude check. We need to check our attitude. Because some of the things that we look at, the way we look at them is because of some of the things in our past and some of the things that the way we grew up, and they've changed our outlook. See, if you're not careful, you'll find what you're looking for. If you're looking for misery, guess what? You'll find it. I was reading about two types of birds, the vulture and the hummingbird. They said, what does the vulture find? A vulture finds dead things. What does the hummingbird find? He finds flowers, nectar, and sweet things. Why do they find these things? Because they will find what they're looking for. Vultures are on the lookout for dead or dying animals. They can scavenge. They can scavenge for food. So if you're laying in the beach or at the park and there's a vulture, there's something wrong with you already. Hit 911. Because vultures have amazing eyesight. It helps them spot possible meals from miles away. If they're hovering over you, be careful. Hummingbirds are also on a mission, and they're looking for a meal, but they're looking for something sweeter. They're looking for bright colors, flowers to guide them to the sweet nectar. Both the hummingbird, listen to this, and the vulture spend the day looking at the same landscape, but they each are finding something different. Hummingbirds fly over dead animals. Vultures fly over flowers, but they only notice what they're looking for. If you're looking for negative, gloomy, depressing, critical things in your life, you're going to find what you're looking for. If you're sitting in here criticizing everything, I can help you. People say, Pastor, man, there's all kinds of things wrong with your church. Oh, yeah, man, I'll help you write the list. I can tell you what's wrong with this church, too. It's not perfect. You're not going to find one. Are you hearing me? Now, if you're looking for bright things that are going on, I can tell you, God's moving here. The presence of God is here. You'll find what you're looking for. But it all has to do with your attitude. Are you a hummingbird or are you a vulture? Because, friend, our attitude will tell us everything. If you want to find dead things, if you want to whine about dead things, you want to complain, you'll find what you're looking for. The Bible says, for as the man thinks within himself, so is he. Change the way you think, and it will change your life. That's why the Bible says, be transformed, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be transformed, be not conformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. God wants to change the way that we think, and this is why this war is going on in our lives. This is why we perceive things. We can walk into a building and we can find dead things instead of things that are living because of our perception. And God wants to change our perception. I was thinking about the elephant. I remember going to a circus the one time in my life. My parents took me to a circus, and I remember going to a circus and walking outside. And when we were walking outside, they had these elephants there, and they were feeding on some hay or whatever they were eating there. And I remember that they had this kind of makeshift little fence. It was kind of like a little plastic thing. And then they had this rope, and it was probably a 5 or 6 foot rope tied onto a stake in the ground. And I'm thinking, that big old elephant can kick that thing. He could step over that little fence, and, man, he can crush everybody. Why is it that that elephant is not walking away? And I found out later, someone told me that what they do when these elephants are very young, that they tie this same thick rope around them, but the rope is tied around a big piece of concrete. And since this elephant is young, they keep pulling, trying to get away. And finally, they get to a point where they realize they can't get away from, or they can't break loose. And so as they grow up, they get this mindset thinking, you can't break loose, why even try? So after they get big and large, they don't even try anymore. The moment that they feel a little tension, they know, oh, I can't break that, and they stop, even though they can. And so a lot of us this morning, we're hanging on to beliefs, old beliefs, simply because we failed once, we think we can't do it. Simply because we said, well, we try, we're not, you know, you're living with outdated beliefs that no longer serve what you're doing, that can no longer help you. You're avoiding trying something new because you're limited by your stronghold. That's the stronghold in your life. these mental strongholds, these mindsets in your life are holding you back because you pulled and all of a sudden you're feeling that tension. And since you were young, now you say, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. No, I'm living. I'm not smart. I'm dumb. They've always told me that. And you can't move past that. And God wants to break that in your life today. The Bible says this in Philippians 4:8. You want to change the way you think? Look at what he said. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thought on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So the Bible says we have to change the way we think. It'll change our life. We need to think on things that are pure, things that are true. Things that are excellent. The reason why we don't think about those things because we're constantly thinking negatively. We're constantly looking. We have what we call a cognitive bias. And what cognitive bias is that we have these biases that we've developed since we were young, and we look at things through this set of lens. It could be like if you came to church and you came in and you had green sunglasses or red sunglasses, whatever it is, or purple sunglasses. If you came in the room with dark purple sunglasses, you'd be looking around the room saying, everything's purple in here. Because you've got this dark set of lenses on. A lot of us this morning, our perception on the way we see things is you got the wrong frame on right now. You got to change the frame. You got to reframe some of the way you look at things. We have to look at things differently. You could go to a workplace. I've seen this happen where two employees they go to work and the supervisor calls them in for, what do they call that, for a review, right? And they call them in, and one goes in, and that one person comes down and says, I can't believe this boss. He's a jerk. I'm not going to let him tell me anything. He says, I don't do this. I don't do that. He's out of his mind. I'm out of here. And then the next guy goes in, and the supervisor tells the exact same thing. They come out and say, you know what, man, I need to fix a couple of things. I need to correct some things in my life. Man, you know what? I think that boss has a good point. I need to change some things. Exact same thing was said, exact same situation, but the way they perceived it, they had dark purple glasses. Are you hearing me? They had the wrong frame on it, and so therefore, that's the way they see it. Your relationship with God can even be affected. Some of you that had earthly fathers here, your father was not a good father. Maybe you had a father that was a very abusive verbally. Maybe you had a father that was neglectful. Maybe you had a father that argued a lot. And so what happens is when you become a Christian, you begin to compare your earthly father to your heavenly father, and you don't even know how to relate to God because you have the wrong lens on. You have the wrong frame. And you look at everything through the mindset of the way you looked at your dad. And so you need to get a new perception. Say new perception. You need to get a new perception. You need to change the way you think. You need to let God break some of those things in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to look at things the same old way. I like this story about this little kid. You probably heard it. He loved playing baseball. And this little kid said, I am the greatest hitter who ever lived. I am the greatest batter that has ever gone, that has ever swung a bat. And so this kid went to the backyard. He picked up he threw the ball in the air. He swung the bat and he missed. He said, strike one. He threw the ball up in the air again and he swung again and he said, strike two. He threw it one more time in the air and he swung again, strike three. He said, man, wow, I had no idea. I'm also the greatest pitcher who ever lived, who struck out the greatest batter in history. I'm great at everything. He reframed the way he thought. Are you listening to me? It was simple. You have to think differently. Some of you have a negative framework that needs to change, that needs to be renewed. You cannot control what happens to you. You can't control the circumstances in your life, but you can control how you perceive things. It's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you. And see, a lot of things happen to the exact same circumstances happen to a different person, same set of circumstances, but this person has a different outlook than this one because you have the wrong perception. Well, you don't understand. You know, I lost this person, this person. Well, this person over here lost a whole, they lost their whole family. Everybody was lost. And you say, well, this person over here has a different outlook. They have a different perception. See what I'm saying? So things change. It's how you look at things. Even Paul the Apostle, believe it or not, a great man of God, one of the things that one of his goals, if you read the Bible, his goal was to go to Rome. He goes, I want to go to Rome. I want to go to this city, and I want to be able to preach the gospel. And so that was one of his prayers, that he would go to Rome. Guess what? He ended up in Rome, not as the preacher, as the prisoner. He gets to Rome, and here's the thing that happened. He gets to Rome because he's pleading his case, and so they put him on house arrest. Now, if people are in house arrest here, they put that little what? That little bracelet on you, right? Don't raise your hand if you got one, but I've actually had people with a bracelet on. And I say, hey, come over my house. They go, Pastor, I can't go. I go, what happened? They go, I got a bracelet on. I'll go to your house, brother. Amen. So anyway, they have this, what they monitor. What do you call it? A monitoring device? What is it? Ankle monitor. You've never had one, though. Okay. Ankle monitor. You know somebody that has, right? Ankle monitor. So you have this ankle monitor on you. And if you've ever, I'm telling you, I've had people in the church, they've had ankle monitors. And there may be one next to you. But anyway, they had this ankle monitor. And so, you know, you only got allowed to go to work, and then there's a timer and the whole thing. I guess it all works out, and if you try to take it off, you're in real big trouble. But anyway, have this ankle monitor. But back then, they didn't have ankle monitors. And so what they would do is they would put a Roman soldier chain next to you. And so what Rome would do is they would, every 8 hours or every 10 hours, they would give him a new soldier that would come, and they would unlock him and put another. That was his house arrest. He was constantly chained to a soldier. And Paul the Apostle, the way he looked at this, he didn't have this negative mindset, because a lot of us, we could read it and we can read it in a negative way. In fact, I'm going to read you the new negative version, okay? I'm going to read this to you, the NIV version. Paul the Apostle said this in Philippians 1. It says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me really sucks. That's what he could have said. But as a result of I'm going through hell, I'm quitting life and I'm quitting going to church. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. Look at what he said. Philippians 1:12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. So what happened is, if you read the Word of God, you'll find that Paul began to share the gospel with all of these soldiers that he was chained to, and they became Christians. And they began to share the message throughout the whole palace. So now you had all these Roman soldiers that are all becoming Christians, because Paul said, you know what, these chains, this bad opportunity, this bad circumstance is actually a good thing. Are you with me? He began to put a positive spin on something that could have been negative. Instead, he said, it's an opportunity for the gospel, and people are hearing the gospel. So, friend, I want you to realize today, sometimes it's your perception. It's not what's really happening. See, a lot of times things could be pretty bad. How many have ever had a bad day? You've ever had a bad day? I mean, just things are, I mean, really bad. And I want you to think about this. When things are really bad, we could say, well, God, you know, why is this happening? Or we could say, thank you, God, for what didn't happen. For instance, maybe you didn't get the bonus, but at least you got a job. At least you didn't lose your job. We were flying over here a couple of weeks ago. My wife, my wife and I went up north and we did a conference. And we came into the Oakland airport. We were flying out of there, not because we wanted to see the game, of course. But anyway, we were there in Oakland. And you know, I had got, if you ever fly Southwest, if you get in the A group, you're the first one to get in. So I had an A thing, man. I was really happy. I think it was 8:33. I go, yes, I'm going to be right up in line. 10 a.m. We got there an hour and a half early. I said, babe, we are on this. We're early. We're in the A group. We're going to relax. We went through security, you know, and all that. We find out that our flight is canceled. And of course, I'm going, what do you mean canceled? I mean, is it delayed? No, no, it's canceled. That's it. That flight is no longer, you have to get a new flight. And though we end up flying out like 12:45, but I begin to think about it, well, what was wrong? Why is it canceled? Well, there's something was wrong with the plane. The plane needed maintenance. And I begin to think, you know what? Well, thank God that it didn't need maintenance while I was in the air. Amen. So I had to, it's what didn't happen, right? Thank God that in the air, say, hey, we need maintenance. Oh, man, now I want to be on the ground. At least now I'm on the ground. It's what didn't happen. Sometimes there are things that happen in our life. What didn't happen, though? Maybe you got delayed in traffic, but maybe it could be that you would have been in an accident earlier had you gone a half hour. What didn't happen? Are you hearing me? So lots of times we're praising God. We're not praising God for the right thing. We're mad at the circumstance. We're mad at the situation. Let me give you an example of what happened to this college girl. She called her parents one day and she said, I have a real serious conversation I want to talk to you about. She drove home from the university to sit with her parents, and she was talking to her parents in the living room. She said, Mom and Dad, I need you to sit down. I have some news to tell you, and I got to be real honest. She said, I went out to the bar, and I got drunk. I went home with a guy, and we did things, and now I'm pregnant with twins. She said, the good news is he'll be off probation in a year. And once he's out of rehab, he plans to get a job. Since he's not able to work right now, he's living with me, and we can't get married because he doesn't have a job, but we're going to try to raise the baby together. Mom and Dad's jaw dropped and hit the floor. And then she said, I want you to know everything I just told you is not true. The truth is, I got a D in chemistry, and I wanted you to know it could have been a lot worse. Young people don't get any ideals. Could be a lot worse, Mom. Could you imagine? It's what didn't happen, right? And so, again, we got to look at life. And I believe this. The key thing is looking at life, if we're going to change our perception, looking at life through the goodness of God. Amen. That no matter how bad things are, God's still good. That no matter, maybe things aren't working the way you want them to work, but God is still good. God is still doing something supernatural in your life. And I'm going to close with this, and I can have musicians come real quick. I'm going to close with this story, and I've shared this before, but I want to share it with some of you. I remember years ago, I was working at a company, and I just got into sales, and I was really excited working there. But I began to realize the company wasn't doing really well financially. And it was coming around, and I was hearing that we're going to file Chapter 11. Basically, they were going to go bankrupt. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I remember they came to me, I think it was on a Wednesday, and they gave me my last check. And I remember I looked at the check. It was right before Thanksgiving. I mean, that's the worst time. And on there it said, Happy Holidays. So what's so happy about this? Man, I lost my job. I got no other job. But it just so happens that day that there was a gentleman that walked in. And I seen him walking out of the office, and he turned and looked at me, and he goes, how you doing, young man? I was a lot younger then. I'm still young, but I was younger then. How you doing, young man? I'm doing pretty good. What's happening? And he said, what are you going to do after this company closes? I said, well, I'm going to start looking for a job, you know. And then he said, well, listen, if you don't find anything, come see me. He gave me his card, and he walked out. And I looked, I go, who was this guy? I looked at his card. He was the president of our competitor, one of the biggest competitors we had. And it was him. It was the president of the company. In fact, the name of the company is named after him. And I looked at it, I go, what? Is this guy? I didn't know it was him. And so I remember, I called him. I think it was that day or the very next day, I was in his office. He hired me. I was making $2 more. He hired me, gave me $2 more than I was making. Within 2 years, I was making 50% more. And within 4 years, I was making 100% more than I was already making. And I just got the favor of God. And I said, man, what would have happened See what I'm saying? What would have happened? Yeah, I could have looked at it and said, man, my job, finding chapter 11, what am I going to do? But see, God turned it around for something better. Are you hearing me? Maybe it's what didn't happen. Are you listening to me? Maybe there could have been a lot of other circumstances in life. And I have to look at it through the goodness of God. No matter how bad things are, God's still good. No matter how bad things are, it could be worse. And God has my back today.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's message from Praise Chapel Paramount. If you want to stay connected, follow us online with Facebook and Instagram at PC Paramount, or visit our website at praisechapelparamount.com.